Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let's go ahead and get started. Heavenly Father, we thank God for allowing us to be here today. We just pray to God that you would just be able to share your heart, oh God, to us. Even as I share this sermon, oh God, today, dear God, that you've placed on my heart. I just pray to God that you would allow us to continue to move forth and be satisfied with the things that we need to be satisfied. And number one, that's with you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. All right, we're continuing, and this is actually going to be the closeout of the series, Are You Satisfied? Last week, I talked about some of the keys to being satisfied. One of the keys was to be thankful. And in being thankful, you remove the complaints. A lot of times, satisfaction complaints is the opposite of being satisfied. We complain with what we have. We complain, oh, God, you sending this and we want that. We should be satisfied when God sends something. Amen? Even to this ministry, when God sends people, we should be satisfied because he's answering our prayer. Now, these people may not always be exactly what we're praying for, but there's a lesson in your blessing. Amen? Hallelujah. There is a lesson, and sometimes we just got to learn that. So we talked about being thankful and the attitude of being satisfied. Some of the scriptures I read were Psalms 107, 8, and 9, and Psalms chapter 145, which talks about God will satisfy those who put their hope in him. Amen? So today, I'm going to kind of flip it because the sermon title is Are You Satisfied? Now, there is a lot of things we should be satisfied about, but there's also other things that we should not be satisfied about. Amen? We should not be satisfied about the current condition of the world that we live in. We obviously see the constant bombardment of, I don't even know how to say it. You have crimes committed by the people that are in authority. You know, and then you even amongst those crimes, you still have people that are still not doing what they're supposed to be doing. So what we see is injustice. And I actually was talking on my radio show about this a little bit, how evil will show its face in many different forms, but it's still evil. It might say, oh, it's this or it's that. I mean, we've been since Trayvon Martin was killed. We've been dealing with a spirit that is trying to bring division amongst the nation, amongst races. Amen? Even before that, you have other people that are from Middle Eastern descent. A lot of them have already been dealing with stuff since 9/11. So now what we see is people are, one, scared, but also they are... What is it? They have a misrepresentation of other people. So what they begin to do is they begin to treat them wrongly. And this is something that has been going on for a while, but we must not be satisfied with that. As children of God, we have to check our hearts and make sure we don't fall victim to those things. That's why it's important when we see the news and we see, oh, this and all that. And if we feel in our spirit that we're getting mad at the white man or the black man or the red man or the yellow man, we're missing out on a point of what God has us here for. That's what the devil wants to do. The devil wants to detour you off of your mission. Our fight is always going to be with Satan. Amen? Our fight is always going to be with against his principalities, against the powers that he has set up that is blinding the minds of people and allowing them to act out what he wants them to act out. So we cannot be satisfied with that. Say, I'm not satisfied with that. I'm not satisfied with that. So what? It's not good to just say, I'm not satisfied. When you're not satisfied, you have to do something about it. Amen? And even before I get there, one of the things I wanted to talk about was being content. And actually, we'll end up going to that in a minute. But I'm going to say this. Being satisfied does not mean we never seek to become better or grow. Correct? We can be satisfied with where we are today, but something inside of us wants to get better. You watch LeBron James playing basketball. They ask him all these questions, and some of the questions he has the, you know, the typical answers. But he's saying, I still want to get better. I want to be the best. I never want to fall off of being the best. So what does he have to do in order to stay the best? He has to grow. He might be sad, but and it was interesting because I was watching an interview, and they asked him, are you satisfied with being in second place in the East? He said, no, I'm never satisfied. That's what LeBron James said. I'm never satisfied. And it's funny how, like, when you're preaching a message, you just hear all these things. But he says he's not satisfied until it's done. This is a basketball player saying, I'm not satisfied until it is done. That's how we have to be. We have to have that same mindset. I'm not satisfied until I'm with my Lord and my Savior, and I'm going to continue to be the best that I can be in the meantime. But until God comes back, I'm not going to be satisfied with the way the world is going right now. Amen? So being satisfied, we should not ever just want to stay at that same place. We have to become better and grow. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. One through 10. And it says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If indeed, I like how Peter put this in there. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, first of all, you have to already have tasted this thing. When somebody cooks something and you taste it and you're like, man, that was good. As long as you're not overindulging in it, you're going to go get some more. And some of us overindulge in it. Man, that rib, those ribs was good. Precious always looks at me when I start talking about food. I know, I don't know. Anyway, but when it's good, you're going to go back and get some more. That's how it is once we've tasted the goodness of God, the goodness of his grace. See, some people don't want more of God because they haven't experienced who God is. They haven't had a chance to taste him. But see, even us that have tasted him, we should never be satisfied and say, I've had enough of God. Right? Sometimes we get that. I've had enough of church. I've had enough of these people. I've had enough of God. God wants to spend time. God, I prayed enough already. Right? I did my duty. That what happens when you begin to be like that, God's going to put you in a position where you're going to need more of him. God's going to get what he needs to get. He's going to get it. But we have to grow. Then it says, coming to him as living stones, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they were also, to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. who once were not a people, but now the people of God, who have obtained mercy, who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So what we see here is there's a growing process, even with us coming to understand who God is. We were satisfied. And how many, when we first gave our life to God, we were satisfied there. And we were satisfied doing or telling people about God. But how many know there's a time where that just that stuff that you used to do when you first got saved, it doesn't satisfy you anymore. You're like, okay, God, I need something more, God. God, I'm really trying to hear you in this situation right here. Can I hear you, Lord? I mean, that was the next step. After you got saved and you were excited, the next thing for me, at least, was that I want to hear what God is telling me personally. Why? Because that's I know that, okay, in order to get there, I have grown. I wasn't at the same place. So we do that. We grow. But then it also says share. Share. Let me see what it says in verse 8. Proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, as we were on the way here, Markayla saw, we have a lot of different belief systems, and she saw some people with the, I don't know what they call it, but the things on their head, the head covered, the women that are covered with their head. And she was like, hey, Dad, what is that? Burqa? And, you know, Precious was like, oh, that's just how they choose to dress, right? So, you know, I was like, well, Markayla, that is how they worship their God. They believe that's how they worship their God. But we must worship him in the way that we live our life and proclaim his goodness. So instead of giving an answer, and there's nothing wrong with Precious's answer. She was like, maybe she's not ready for this. But I'm preparing them, right? Because in this day and age, we have to train up our children. It's not going to get easier to be a Christian. That's one of the hardest things as a parent, as you look into this world. This world is not going to get better. Christianity is going to get more and more rejected until the time that Jesus Christ comes. We're going to see more and more people have their own religious beliefs, more and more people that have their own ways that they will follow. There's going to be persecution. But Jesus said, be of good cheer because I have overcame the world. Guess what? Our children are going to have to overcome the world. Right? And they can only do it through Jesus Christ. So any time my daughter, they ask something that has to do more than just what somebody's wearing, I want to explain to them what it is, because there is a battle already raging that to try to keep not only our children, but all the children from proclaiming the true Lord who Jesus Christ is. So we have to look at that and say, I'm not satisfied with how this world is, even though I see them. That doesn't mean we go fight them. See, that's the thing. Like, people that are not satisfied, they begin to fight. Now, I will say this. There is a time to fight, right? But you don't fight. I mean, we keep seeing all these riots happening and stuff like that. Those are pointless. They don't do anything. They don't change anything, right? All they do is change your city, and your city's messed up. But if you want to do something, elect the right people. Put the right people in position. Honor the people that are doing right. Right? The Bible even says that when the wicked are in rule, the people hate it. But when a righteous rules the land, they are excited. Right? Now, that's very interesting. You can look at our state of the country and say, well, is the president? I don't have to say what it is. If there's things going haywire, it's a prophecy of what the Bible says. And I even explained to my kids prophecies. Markayla had said something. She thought she saw somebody doing a praise dance, and it wasn't that person. But I said, that's prophecy. She is prophesying, not even knowing it, because the Bible says out the mouth of babes, they will prophesy. The Bible says, and you're young and old, they shall prophesy. So as we continue to move forward in God, we have to say, I'm not content. I'm content with God. I'm excited about who God is. But the current state of the world, they need to know who God is. And it should burn in us to say, man, I got to. It should be a burden on your heart to share the gospel with people. A good burden. Right. It should be an itching in you that says, man, I got to share the gospel. There's times that when we're at the gym, people will say certain stuff and I feel the spirit of God say, man, it's OK. Turn it on. And what we do is we begin to pray. There was a guy, he just started sharing his whole story. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, he shared some stuff with me and I was like, OK, cool. You know, but he kept sharing us and he was just like, man, I could have died. I have five. Listen to how this person who, anyway, he had five issues in his life last year that he could have died from. And he was like, man, it's, you know, I'm just excited to be here and thank God I'm here. And, you know how he's still kind of trying to get it, but he was like, I was a bad man. This guy, we in the middle of the locker room, he's telling, I did all this. I was a sinner and I got shot. He told us how he got shot and everything like that. And he thought he was going to die. And he said he looked and in a window. There was a person that he couldn't explain, but he said it was peace. And they said everything's going to be all right. And he was like, man, I know the Lord was looking out for me. And, you know, some people ask him, was that God? He said, was that God? He said, I don't think God came, but that at least one of his angels came for me. Right. But he explains how God saved him. And sometimes they might say, hey, I'm lucky. But we said, no, you got praise the Lord. That's the thing that comes out of our mouth. Man, thank God you're alive. Praise the Lord. Why do we do that? So they know who to praise. And he was and then we end up praying for him. And, you know, when you see the current state, even of the people that we see in the gym that claim to be Christians, it's so much people that are everywhere. Curse words, and we understand now people think it's okay. We're not content with the world becoming more and more like the church. Or the church, I'm sorry, vice versa, becoming more and more like the world. We're not content with that. So when somebody comes up and says something that's not in line biblically, sometimes we want to argue about it. Right? Why? Because we're not satisfied with that. We're not satisfied with the corruption of the word of God that people corrupt. Because God's word is pure. As I said earlier in that thing, in this scripture, pure milk. It is pure milk. It said, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Some people are drinking milk. Mari knows about it. If this milk is bad, she's not going to drink it. But there's some people taking the bad milk. Oh, it tastes bitter, but man, I got to eat something. I got to taste something, right? What happens is that their milk is bad. And guess what? If you don't have pure milk, it says pure milk of the word, it will help you grow. Bad milk will deteriorate you. Amen. You'll get sick, and people are spiritually sick. They are constantly, it's sickening. That's all I can say. Let's go to Jude chapter 1, because there's only one chapter in Jude. Verse 20 and 21 says, but you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And I'm going to go ahead and read the rest. And it says, and on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now, even that passage is called maintaining your life with God. In order to maintain something, you can't just be satisfied with something. Look, if you're satisfied with your car, but you never give your car an oil change, you never give it a transmission flush, it might run for a while, but when it doesn't run, you will not be satisfied. That time when you come to start it and it sounds funny and it's, man, what's the deal with this car? Well, you didn't maintain it. We have to maintain this walk with Christ. You have to change your oil. What is your oil? Your oil is like your mind. Your heart has to be changed. When your heart is changed, the way we always say the Bible, your heart, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Not this thing that's pumping, but the thing that you're the soul of you. Out of that, your mouth speaks. Out of that comes the desires of life. So we have to make sure in maintaining our walk with Christ, we have to remove ourselves, our soul, our mind. And I'm not saying go try to do some crazy stuff to take it out. I'm saying get rid of your own thoughts, your own desires. This is how you maintain your walk with God. Guess what? If you don't rebuke thoughts, you can't maintain this walk with Christ. Because even the devil had to rebuke Satan. I read that a couple of weeks ago. He had to rebuke him in order to walk according to the word of God. Yeah, when he was tempted, he said, get away from me, Satan, I rebuke you. The word of God, a man should not live by bread alone, but by the word of God. Then he said, away from me, Satan. So what he had to do is he had to remove even his thoughts and desires. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was saying, hey, God, I would like to do it this way. Or is there another way we could do it? Because I don't want to do it. But nevertheless, somebody say it with me, not my will, but your will be done. This is how Jesus maintained his life with God. So we have to do the same thing in our walk with Christ. Not my will, God, but your will be done. Amen. So we cannot be content or satisfied with where we are. We have to be ready to grow. Amen. So we're not satisfied with staying where we are satisfied in God. And this is always, it's almost like when you get saved, do you do good works to get saved? No, you don't. God did that great work. But after that, it's my job to continue on his great work. Amen. So we're satisfied with knowing who God is, with having a relationship with God, even with where we are currently, but we're not satisfied with the things that still need God. Guess what? After you get saved, there's still things in your life that need God. And until you, as the word of God says, you become sanctified, say sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit, until you become sanctified, which happens when you are in heaven with God, fully sanctified, then you should not be satisfied with the current state of who you are. Until all the things that are in your life are covered with God. Amen. Another thing, we must not be satisfied with being complacent. Right? What happens is a lot of times people get saved, their family saved, sometimes, and they're satisfied. Even if their brother ain't saying, it's all right, I'm going to heaven, I'm going to have a party. And you know, it's funny, we had a guy come and he was just like, oh, so you're going to the party and nobody else? Really, what happens is people get complacent. I'm saying, cool. All I was worried about anyway was my skin. I made it in. Right? But we cannot get complacent. Let's go to Philippians 3, verse 12. Not only can we not get complacent with ourselves, there's a job to do. There's always a job to do in the Lord. Philippians 3, 12 through 16 says this. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. Paul said this. I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Now, it's interesting because some people, you know, we have so many different doctrines that are in the church today. Some people would say, oh, well, Paul, if you read Paul's letters, he says, I gotta press on so I can grab a hold of what Jesus has for me. He didn't say, I'm good here. Because guess what? You being where you are right now, you may not, if you don't continue to press into God, because guess what? Pressing into God is every day. You ever play basketball? When you play basketball, they have full court press. You don't do that one time in the game, especially if the game is close. Watch the NCAA March Madness. Watch the playoffs. When it's crunch time, they are constantly pressing. Even if it's not full court press, they're doing a half court press. Why? Because they realize that in order to win, I have to press. Paul says the same thing. In order to win in this walk with Christ, I have to press. Pressing is not always the easiest thing. Pressing is going to retire you to get, it's going to require you to get tired. Right? When you press into God, sometimes you're not going to feel like it. Man, God, we did that yesterday. Or sometimes he's going to have you pray all night. And God, I'm tired. My kids did this. I did this. It don't matter. Sometimes in order to get to that next level, in order to get to the place where God wants you, he's going to require you to press, that you may lay hold of what Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Verse 13 says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, right? But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, somebody say, therefore, let us as many as are mature. So if you don't want to be mature, you don't even have to listen to this. You just want to be a baby. Be a baby. But Christ is calling us to be to maturity. Amen. Therefore, let us as many as are mature have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by that same rule. Let us be of that same mind. So even Paul says, okay, we've got here. Some of you have been saved for, I don't know how long you've been saved. There's a lot of people that have been saved different times. But the stuff that you learn when you receive Christ, you don't just forget it. But I've seen people do it. I got saved and God took the cursing from me, right? I got saved and I stopped watching things that I knew would cause me to go back to the world. I stopped listening to the things, but then they get quote unquote mature in their eyes. Oh, now I'm okay to go see that stuff again. You ever heard that? And you're like, dude, what are you saying? And you know, we live in a world where Christians are so, we could just be like everybody else. It's not going to hurt us. You lying. Because God is not comfortable with what you're comfortable with. Maturity. See, those are the people that are babies, right? So that what a baby is constantly in need of somebody else to help them. So these baby Christians, they're in constant need of somebody to help them. Oh, I need deliverance. I done slipped up. I need this. Why? Because you're still a baby Christian. Until you become mature, how do you become mature? By pressing on. I got here, but I realized I can't just throw away the stuff that I did. You can't walk on a stair step. You can't walk to the top of a building, get to the fifth floor, and then cut the steps underneath you. Right? Can't do that. Because you might collapse the whole building. Right? But if you're climbing towards something, or even a ladder is a better thing, you don't cut what you've already climbed on. Because guess what? Then you go right back. I thought I was on level 5. No, you are on level 1 again, because you thought you can get rid of the things that you've already attained to. And guess what? God taught you all these things. And you don't say, okay, God, that was great back then. We still hold on to that because that is the foundation. And actually, Peter said the foundation was Christ He's the chief cornerstone. But upon that foundation, he builds his church. He's building his church. And as he's building his church, we don't take away different pieces that he's building. Right? It sounds simple, but people are doing this. It's like, oh, man, I don't need that no more. Grace, oh, they'll keep grace. But holiness, oh, that was back in the old days. Do I got to read the Bible? Nah, I read this Christian book by this Christian author who is questionable, right? But he got a lot of book sales. And I'm not going to knock any. I ain't going to say no names. But people are quicker to read a book than they are to read the Bible. Right? They put more value in that book than they put in the Word of God. And that's dangerous. But it said, let us be of the same mind. Let us continue. See, Paul did not say, okay, man, when I got saved, when I met Jesus, he blinded me. And after that, I couldn't see. And this man prayed for me. See, some of us even forget the things God did. We got to be quick to share that. There was the passage I read earlier. Quick to testify and proclaim of the goodness of God in our lives. Because somebody else needs to hear it. Amen. That's why when great things that we've been praying for happen, we don't have to keep it a secret. Let the world know, oh, God did this for me. How did it happen? Man, well, you know, I hit the lotto. Is that what you're going to say? No. And even when it does happen, sometimes we give these other excuses for what God has done. No, it was God. Just because you got more back on your taxes doesn't mean that it was you don't thank the government. They're the ones taxing you in the first place. They took more from you. Hello. Right? But we cannot be satisfied with being complacent. Let's keep on going. It says, we must not be satisfied with the number of people who are believers. Right? We're not only trying to get a certain number. We're trying to continue to get people saved. And that doesn't mean don't celebrate when somebody gets saved. Celebrate. The Bible says the angels are in heaven rejoicing when one person comes to the Lord. So we rejoice. Thank God he saved them. But that doesn't mean my job's over. We just won one game. We won that day. We need to win every day. Win souls every day. Amen. Tell somebody about the goodness of God. One of the things that I've been sharing with as even with the gym, you know, we see so many people living different lifestyles. And people are not hiding their lifestyles anymore. Right? It's flamboyant, in your face, this is who I am, accept me, or else. Right? But we should do the same thing. I'm a Christian, accept me. Oh, you have a problem with me? Guess what? Get a lawsuit. And if you can settle it, as the Bible says, before going to court, make sure you get it done. But what I'm saying is, the world, they are not hiding, but we hide what we believe. Right? This is why all the stuff that's happened in the world, all these laws that are passed, it's because Christians are hiding. They're not vocal about it. They're not. Now, if you Muslims, they won't let you change certain stuff. That's why they're still praying in schools. They are serious about what they believe. Put a P right. Press the P button so I can edit that. All right. When they will not let that happen, but Christians have let that happen. Except for the three or four you hear every year that said my kid's going to pray over his food. That means in a world where we believe that there is many Christians out there, you only got three kids praying over their food in a public school. No wonder they're getting sick. No wonder the flu epidemic was the highest it's ever been. But we cannot be quiet about this thing. Amen. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. It says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Then it says, but when he saw the multitudes, so even before that, Jesus was already doing his work. You guys catch that? It says he was already doing it. What was he doing? He was going to the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among them. But then it says in verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Catch that. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but laborers are few. Okay. So what does that says? What does that say? There's a need. Somebody say there's a need for more workers in the kingdom. You even look now, you can go to these big churches. Guess what? There's only a few of them that's working. The church is always hiring. Matter of fact, we should probably put a sign out. Hiring people that want to share the gospel. Right? Now, you might not get paid monetarily here, but there is a need. Then Jesus says in verse 38, therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Amen. So Jesus wasn't complacent. He was already working. But even after working, he said, man, he just looked and said, wow, we need some help. Jesus said that. He saw the people that were in the world lost, scattered, in need of a leader, right? And not only a leader, but leadership, because Jesus was the leader. But he said, they still need to be pointed to me, and they need leaders to point them to me. So pray that God sends in leaders. Pray that God sends in laborers. Even for our ministry, that's our prayer. You know, there's something that's been on my heart. I want to be able to do more things here, but sometimes your schedule doesn't allow it. It'd be great for us to do after school care with these people here, right? The church is here, but by the time I get here, after school thing is done, right? But these are things that we want to do to impact and change this community, because we know that they are scattered, right? It's not no secret. Walk out today and you'll see it. But there is a need for laborers of the harvest. And mature believers cannot say, oh, the pastor will do it. Right? The pastor, when people say the pastor will do it, or the pastors, or however it is, guess what? They're baby Christians. Right? Even if it's just praying for somebody. Hey, pastor, can you pray? What do you mean? Have you given your life to the Lord? Yes, okay. Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? You don't know. Some of them don't know. You have the Holy Spirit in you when you got you saved. You pray, right? That's a great thing about being under people like Pastor Nate. He was pretty much the pastor I was under the most of my life. But being under him, he was gonna make you do some stuff, right? I remember the time where I prayed for Chamian to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I had never did that before. And while we're in front of everybody, Pastor Nate's like, all right, Mark, go ahead and do it. I'm like, in my head, I'm like, what's this guy doing? What am I supposed to do? Right? So, you know, I just, whatever I saw him do, I did it. And thank God Chamian got filled with the Holy Spirit. But he pushed us. Right? Our job is to push, don't push them down the stairs, right? But push these people to move forward and see that their relationship with God is not stuck on us. Amen? That's the problem with the church. People have become too reliant on their leader, and they go through their leader, just like the Catholic system. They go through that leader to get to God. You can't pray to God, come go confess here. What if the guy is not there? What if the church is closed and you want to repent? What do? You should have your own relationship with God, and it's our job to point them there. Amen? So we must not be excited or satisfied with the people that are still not saved. Matthew 28:19 says, go therefore, preach the gospel to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit until I come back, right? Go until I come back. So guess what? There is no pause in that. That's a continual thing. First, it said, go to your cities, right? We got churches now. They want to be international churches, but they're not even reaching people in their neighborhoods. Something got to change. Even artists. I mean, we work with a lot of artists. If people in your own neighborhood don't know what you do musically, don't think you're going to be invited to the Stellars to perform. Don't think you're going to the Grammys. Start with the people that are close to you. Amen. And even us, we should say, God, I have prayer. I have on the people in my neighborhood. Their names on my prayer request. I say, God, save them. Begin to touch their hearts. I don't care what they believe right now, God. I know that you can save them. Allow conversations to come up where we can share the gospel. Allow conversations to come up where we can tell them about what the word of God says. Amen. Why? Because I'm not satisfied with them not knowing the Lord. But see, that has to be something that God, that's the heart of God. God's heart, God is satisfied with what he made, but God is not satisfied with people not accepting him, not accepting his love. His heart is constantly yearning for people to come to him. The Bible says that, we heard this a lot too, he is not willing that any man perish. That's God. He doesn't want that to happen. So he does what he does to reach people. But guess what? He also sent us. And if we don't go out, guess what? See, this is the cult thing. God, he sends us. And if we don't go out, sometimes that person is not going to be reached. Because it said when the judgment comes, the worst thing is for that person to say, he never told me, right? Your friend is getting judged and he looking at you, and, man, how come you didn't tell me about this? I thought we were homies, right? I mean, in the world, if you became rich, I was going to say you striked it rich. I don't know why I'm saying words funny. But back in the day, you got a gold rush. If you had a gold rush and you struck it rich, you came back. You told your friend at least. Why? Because your friend, you needed help. But we have struck into real life. We know what it is. And the worst thing for us to do is hide it from our friends. But people that are complacent, somebody else will tell them. God will send an angel to them. No, he won't. He's sending you. Amen. So we can't be satisfied with that. We must not be satisfied with what we have accomplished. Thank God for what we've accomplished. Amen. Thank God for all the people, even that have come to this ministry, that have given their life to God, that we've prayed and they've been healed. Thank God for all the people that have come and heard the powerful word that has been spoken here. But guess what? That's not what we're not going to sit on that and be, oh man, look at what I did. Right? There's more to do. So we are not satisfied until God covers our whole life, but also God covers this whole world those that are all in our life, we can't be satisfied with people not being saved. And guess what? We're going to be here until God comes back or he takes us home, and we must continue to share the gospel. Amen. And that should satisfy us. Doing the work. Jesus said this after speaking with the lady at the Samaritan lady at the well. They said, Jesus, where did you get that food? Because we went to get you some food. That's the reason why Jesus was there. He said them to go to Jack in Box or something, right? And he was like, oh, so they went, and it wasn't Jack in the Box, but they went. It was Jack in a bag. But they went and came back, and they're like, hey, he's already ate. And he said, doing the will of my Father is what feeds me. I'm satisfied because I'm doing the will of the Father. And we must be satisfied doing the will of the Father. Amen. And if we're not doing it, we must not be satisfied. Amen. So when we ask you, are you satisfied? Yes, I'm satisfied with knowing God. Yes, I'm satisfied with seeing him change my life, him constantly moving, the thing that he created me to do. I'm satisfied about it. But I'm not satisfied with people not experiencing the same thing that I've experienced. Amen. So, Heavenly Father, we just come praying to you today, dear God, and thanking you for your word. Dear God, I pray, dear God, that you light a fire in us, oh God, that will not be satisfied until we see more and more people come to know you, God. God, we pray, Father, for people in this neighborhood that are coming. Dear God, thank God that they're coming, oh God. We're satisfied they're coming, but God, we want to be fully satisfied and have them be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit, oh God, that they would begin to change this neighborhood. Dear God, that they would have relationships with you, oh God, that they grow. Dear God, even the people that we don't care where they're from, but God, allow us to be satisfied sharing your word. Hallelujah. And I even pray to God that you would allow us, if we're not sharing the word, dear God, to not feel satisfied, to not feel content, oh God, but that we would say, okay, I got to get up and go share what you've been doing in our life, that we will proclaim your goodness to this world. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.